Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. It's great to have you join me. Damayanti means deep peace and calm. Damayanti sheds a light for your soul through the gift of wisdom that shines in the beautiful and universal language of Sanskrit. Damayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Welcome, everyone. Welcome along to Damayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sarah Main. And today, I'm going to be talking about how do we come to know what we know? I'm on a bit of a theme, so this follows on from my previous show, which is empower yourselves with wisdom. And I'm now going to be talking about how do we come to know what we know. Now, I know this sounds like it's going to be a bit intellectual, but it's actually very important. How do we come to know what we know? Because this very fact is actually a bit mysterious. And so let's begin with talking about education. Now, don't switch off, stay with me. Education as an act of remembering. That's a different way of looking at it. Education as an act of remembering. So the wise tell us that all knowledge is innate. The wisdom traditions confirm that all knowledge is innate. That means all knowledge, hear that, all knowledge is within us. Ooh. It is ever thus. All knowledge is within us. Now, this is often can be described differently. We can talk about the quantum. That's a very popular way of describing it these days. The quantum field, for example. But the wisdom traditions do describe that knowledge is within us. Knowledge is limitless. So if it's within us, that means we're limitless. But let's not go off on a tangent. Knowledge is limitless. Knowledge is universal. That means we might be universal. And knowledge is also particular. So it's universal and particular. It's all there. If all knowledge is there, then obviously it's going to be universal and particular. And universal, the very definition of universal, is all places, all the time. There's never a time when if something's universal, there's never a time when it's not present. Otherwise, it's not universal. So I hope that's just sort of made you think a bit more, because that's really important that we get out of our little habitual patterns of thought and consider further. How do we know what we know? We're empowering ourselves with wisdom here. Okay, so how do we access this universal knowledge? How do we access this knowledge which is everywhere, all the time, present? Well, that's interesting. For a human being, it can only be accessed in the present moment. It's not possible to access universal knowledge yesterday. It's not possible to access universal knowledge tomorrow. It's only available in the present moment, here and now. But it is present here and now. It actually is present here and now. So it doesn't seem that way. Then are we present? That's a question. Are we actually present? Because the knowledge is here. The wisdom traditions confirm that. It is within us, here and now. Okay, so this knowledge can only be accessed here and now if we get some sort of reminder from the outside, as it were, externally, as it were. Okay, it seems like it's outside of us, seems like it's external. We need a reminder, all right? This outside reminder can come especially when you're young, when we're young, from parents and teachers. Okay, parents and teachers are some of the most obvious ways we've gotten a reminder, and that's how we've been able to access this universal knowledge. So especially when we're young, parents and teachers. But as we get older, obviously, that changes form, can be still parents and teachers in one form, but we could also recognize it as mentors or guides, or even life situations themselves. Someone that you meet in the street can say something to you, and they can, that encounter could be one of the most powerful encounters with a teacher. And for some reason, that has happened. You can call it the universe, the quantum, the Holy Spirit, the divine, however you connect with that, a soul connection. There can be some kind of a so-called teaching in that moment. So this apparent teaching of knowledge at that moment, in the present moment, unlocks and makes available the knowledge within us, all right? And then it can be utilized. But until then, it's sort of latent. It's innate, but it's latent. And so we need that encounter with a teacher, a guide, a mentor, something, because it actually then unlocks what's there. And we can utilize it, we can build upon it, we can make it practical. And from that application and that experience, wisdom arises. Okay, so that's transforming knowledge into wisdom. So this unlocking of this innate knowledge is an act of remembering. We actually remember. Okay, so when we speak of education, we're really speaking of an act of remembering. Okay, now I'm talking to you as a teacher of 30 plus years, and it appears as if the knowledge is being transmitted from one person who knows something to someone else who doesn't know it. Now, I taught children of different ages, I've taught adults. So it seems like you know something as the teacher and the student doesn't know, and you're transmitting it. Okay, that's how it can appear. But it's not actually what's happening. It's an act of remembering. So the knowledge is being spoken or presented, okay, and with the reception of that knowledge, an unlocking takes place. That is mysterious. And that innate knowledge is remembered, and that knowledge is now available to the adult, the child, all right? And then it can be utilized and applied and experienced, okay? So it is a mystery. It's actually a mystery. I can remember when I first started teaching, I was, like, the first few days especially, it was so fresh, and I can remember teaching things and the students came in not being able to do something, not knowing something. And after a process of me presenting things and then them practicing, they seem to be able to do it. And you think, you have to be honest with yourself and think, how did that happen? It is actually a complete mystery. And I think it's right that it's a mystery, and we shouldn't manhandle it and try and know and analyze it, but just honor and accept that it is a mystery. But the wisdom traditions talk about this act of remembering, that is the true education. So in fact, we don't really own the knowledge. The knowledge is innate within us, and it, through an act of remembering, it's then made available. But the knowledge is there all the time. It's a whole different way of looking at education and knowledge. So this was the true principle of education that we followed when I was a teacher at the school that I taught at, that education is an act of remembering. And so this applies to all knowledge. That's really, really important. That obviously it applies to basic education like times tables and reading when you're a little kid, but it also applies right up to the higher knowledge of self-knowledge about ourselves, true knowledge about ourselves and the universe and our relationship to them, and all levels in between. So if you want to learn about, I don't know, being a motor mechanic, you have some knowledge, okay, but let's say you don't know anything, you want to be a motor mechanic and you turn up, you need someone to show you. Now, these days, of course, there's online courses and this and that, but one form or another, you need something presented to you, and what's actually happening is it's unlocking what's there already. You don't lack something. I suppose what I'm saying is you don't lack something and someone else comes in and fulfills that lack. What's really happening is it's sparking a remembering of what's already there. So that's a really important thing to remember. So let's now consider, when we say all knowledge is innate, there are two aspects to this. All right, all knowledge is innate. So one, you are a limitless self, and all knowledge is therefore available to you. Now, that is remarkable to talk about that you are a limitless self and all knowledge is available to you, because quite frankly, it doesn't always seem like that. In my show, Empower Yourself with Wisdom, I was talking about moving from darkness to light. Well, frankly, when the light switch is turned off and everything seems dark, darkness being an absence of light, and darkness being dispelled instantly by light. You flick on a switch in a dark room and the light dispels the darkness immediately. But it doesn't always seem like we're a limitless self and all knowledge is available to us. But that is in fact the case, and all wisdom traditions are reminding us of this again and again. So that is an act of memory in and of itself. The second one, and this is the one I'm going to spend a bit more time on, is because we all have individual natures and propensities. And that's a whole thing in itself. Everyone's different. Everyone's experience is different. When someone switches on a light in a dark room, metaphorically, right, figuratively, some person's light is stronger and brighter than another person's light. Still light, but the light bulb is a little low wattage, so the room is a little dimmer. You can still see things, but you can't see things as brightly. Well, why is that? Everybody's nature and propensities are different. And gosh, if you've been a teacher, you'll know that. You never get two students the same. You can be teaching for 100 years, you won't find two students exactly the same. So I'm going to take a break and then come back and spend a little bit more time on that, so that we can celebrate our differences and learn to start from where we are as we come to know how do we know what we know and get empowered with wisdom. So I'll be back soon after the break.
Life engineering processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to create a life of alignment on transformationtalkradio.com. Join host Gabriella Embon and Dr. Pat every first and third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific for Wisdom Nuggets, step-by-step guidance to uncover the processes that help create the perfect synergy between your mind, body, and spirit to realize your true potential. Get ready for some magic wisdom on how to create a life of no regrets. Visit coachingacademy.net.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Do you want to come back to yourself? To come back to your own power? To come back to your dreams? Dr. Tassel Shanebrook will help you utilize transformational mindset and energy techniques to superpower your conscious and subconscious mind so you can be your own hero. Enjoy the relationship of your dreams, your best feeling body, financial abundance, free time, and ease. You are the one you have been seeking. Visit drtassel.com to find out more.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today's show is on how do we know what we know? It sounds dry, but it's actually really important because when we're talking about understanding ourselves and moving from darkness to light and empowering ourselves with wisdom to be our best selves and live our higher self, we need to understand some of these simple universal principles. So how do we know what we know? Well, we have all knowledge within us, but that knowledge is not available. It's not accessible unless there's been an act of remembering. And that's actually what education is. And we need that act of remembering. We all have it. It's just how the system works. It needs to be unlocked through apparent teaching, you know, a teacher, a parent, a guide, a mentor, an encounter in the street with someone who just says one thing to you and you suddenly go, oh, yes, that's so important to remember, right? That is an act of remembering because the knowledge is within all of us all the time. It's just, it's almost sort of latent and therefore it's unavailable to us. But with that act of remembering, with that realization, with that learning, then it's available and we can use it, we can apply it, and through that application and experience we come to wisdom. And that can be at any level. You know, you want to learn how to bake a cake and you learn watching your mom, your mother, or someone teaches you, right? And then through practice and application you discover how to bake a cake and you find what works best and all of that, and you have the wisdom of cake baking, as it were. But if you haven't had that, if you haven't actually applied the wisdom, then you don't know, all right? So education as an act of remembering, completely different from the concept of education, which is student doesn't know something, teacher does know something, teacher presents knowledge or something to student and transfers it over, and student now has that knowledge and now knows it. So sort of a lack situation, which is supplied by the teacher. The wisdom tradition say no, everyone is full and complete, pure, perfect and complete, everyone. But that completeness isn't accessible unless there's an act of remembering, and that's what the teaching is about. So we have all this knowledge, and one of the things we need to consider is that everybody is different. Everybody's nature and propensities is different. All right, so certain knowledges and learnings are available this lifetime, and some appear to be inaccessible. All right, some people have a knack for understanding things such as languages and sciences, and they have talents for things, and other people struggle with those things. But some have talents for other things. Some are academically inclined, some have got mechanical skills, some have a knack for empathy and understanding, some are more analytical. Everybody's different. And you really see that, like after 30 plus years, I don't think I ever saw one student that was exactly the same as someone else. Just didn't happen. You might get similarities, but everybody is unique. Okay, so in my experience in teaching, I'm standing in front of a class presenting new knowledge to a class of 20 students. Okay, so if the X factor was the teacher's skill in imparting the knowledge, the actual speaking of the words, the presentation, and the child's innate nature and differences wasn't a factor, all right, then each student would have the exact same reception of the information. They would respond precisely the same. All right, get that. You've got to get that image. And obviously it's not like that. So you get all 20 students, the same information is presented by the same person. If there isn't that individual nature of each student, that innate knowledge wouldn't be a factor, all right? Because everyone would respond in exactly the same way, and obviously that's not the case. So it's manifestly obvious that people's paths are uniquely carved out by each person. So we're going to call it karma because that is a term everyone knows. This karma creates the individual nature and propensities, all right? The likes and the dislikes, the nuances of likes and dislikes, the nuances of talents and skills, or the lack of them. Such that when a teacher arises and speaks the knowledge, the word, some people get it straight away and some people need to work at it and some people simply can't hear it, all right? Some people get it straight away, boom. Some need to work at it and some simply can't hear it, no matter how it's said and how often it's said, all right? And that's in all sorts of areas and all sorts of fields. It's constantly fluid and different. Now, in this so-called process, there is a readiness factor. There's a readiness factor, and there is a principle of not teaching if you haven't been asked. So readiness and the principle of not teaching if you haven't been asked. So because of this readiness factor, at best if you teach out of time, it's useless. That's the best one. If you teach out of time, it's useless. It falls on deaf ears. But the worst one, it can be destructive by creating an antipathy or a negative emotional response, and that can create blockages for when the moment of readiness does arise. So this is really important. The readiness moment happens, and you do see that in teaching. And we're like this. We can hear things a thousand times, and on the thousandth and first time, we go, oh, I get it, all right? And that can be in all sorts of things. This is how do we know what we know? And it's important. We do need to keep hearing things until we get it. And then we've got it, and it's part of us, right? That knowledge has been unlocked. We've sort of fully remembered it. But if you say things to people when they're not ready to hear, okay, then it can fall on deaf ears. That's great. That's the good outcome. But the worst one, it can actually be destructive because it can set up barriers and further blockages. So when that moment does come, they've got an antipathy that they've got to work through. So there is a sort of higher discipline of not teaching unless you've been asked, all right? Because people always want to go around and say, you need to know this and all. And actually, if they're not asking, it's not the time. They're not ready. It's a higher discipline, takes more restraint on your part. I can tell you that. So another crucial factor is love and respect for the teacher, the student, and the knowledge. And this is the secret sauce, love and respect, because then everything is open and there's a flow. So love and respect is the natural in-between when knowledge is being imparted. Because without love and respect for the teacher, the student will learn nothing of value. They'll learn, but nothing of value without love and respect for the teacher. Very, very important. The teacher has the knowledge readily available and the student has the knowledge in potential, but it isn't available to them. So teaching begins. Why isn't the knowledge unlocked? Why doesn't education happen? Why isn't the knowledge made available? And why doesn't the student know what they know? And I'm talking about students and teachers, and we think of that in terms of school kids or going to college. But think of that in terms of spiritual knowledge, knowledge of your higher self, higher knowledge as well. So think about this. Why doesn't the student know what they know? Well, one, if the teacher starts speaking in a language that the student doesn't understand, for example, French, well, there's no flow, obviously. So speaking in a language the student, the child or the student or anyone doesn't understand can take many forms. It may not be just like language like French or, German or something. It can be shouting at them, being abusive or too forceful, all right? That's not a language that someone can hear and receive in. Also, the student, even though the teacher is speaking in a language the student does understand, the student isn't open and receptive, isn't listening, isn't paying attention. So there's this flow of love and respect. So delivering the knowledge in a way that can be received and the student being receptive. So how do we overcome these two things? Well, for the teacher, present yourself differently, do things creatively, keep them motivated. And for the student, love and respect. It's love and respect on both sides. So this is understanding how we come to know what we know, and this is at every level. And notice how I finished up with love and respect. That is the secret sauce, because that opens up the pathways, and that means that the presentation can be in a way that can be received and the student can receive it. And remember, in that so-called knowledge giving and receiving of knowledge, what we're really doing is reminding, unlocking an act of remembering what we already have inside us. This is a very, very important thing. Most people don't know this. I'm telling you so that you know how what you know, you understand how you've come to know what you know. And also, if you've got kids, how to speak to them or anyone, any family member. Pick the time and find a way in love and respect to say what needs to be said. And practice gratitude and appreciation. Think of people in your life who have the biggest impact and from whom you've learnt the most. Go to a place of gratitude with your heart and silently, or do it in the way that express gratitude in the way that works for you, that's authentic to you. Silently in your heart, do an act of charity in their name, write a letter to them. It opens up the flow and makes you even more open to the knowledge coming into you and unlocking greater knowledge within yourself, and you will grow as you journey in your soul path. So, exciting developments in Dhammayanti. Go to my website, dhammayanti.store. Sign up for the new newsletter. There are new and exciting things coming, especially new jewelry collections being just one of them. And I'm going to finish with a beautiful traditional Sanskrit prayer. And this is the prayer recited for the relationship of teacher and student. Oh, may we all be protected. May we all be nourished. May we all work together with great energy. May our intellect be sharpened. And let there be no animosity or hatred amongst us. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvina Vadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Dhammayanti or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, dhammayanti.store. That's dhammayanti.store. See you next time.